Sports.
So they just sit there and talk about sports?
Yes, we do. And in studio again. Damn, this feels good. Let's do this. It's a Thursday on the Blitz.
Shall we begin?
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And The Blitz is on for Thursday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe. With me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon, back in freaking studio. A.J. Hoffman, Chocolate Braveheart, and, you know, racist, according to Twitter. Aaron Roble, the Voldemort, if you want to get in, 713-780-ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. And it's a Thursday, weekend's almost here. Let's have some fun. I'm so stoked to be back in studio, I didn't even get pissed off at the traffic coming in. How's that? Because it was bad, man. This was like normal afternoon, Thursday afternoon Houston traffic. So, glad to be back.
Good to see you here, Fred. Rona free.
I was never worried, but, you know, you don't want to. Just didn't want to take any chances. So now I'm back, not taking any chances. I was enjoying listening to you and Josh. I was thinking maybe he should just do the show today and I could just listen.
No, it's your big day. It's your big day. You're finally back. I tried to call you last night and give you the news, and I ended up settling for texting you the news. But once you, you were being very cautious. It was you didn't have contact with someone who knowingly carried the virus.
Right.
You were in contact with someone who was in contact with someone.
Right. And I wasn't really even that much in contact. It was just the fact that we were in an enclosed room for about 30 minutes.
Right. And just playing it safe. We said, you know what? We've got the technology for you to do it from home. Luckily, we had about, two and a half months of experience doing this, where we were apart from each other. So it wasn't overly awkward. It wasn't like the first couple shows we did, which were tough.
Yeah.
But it was fine. I'd rather you be safe than sorry. And it turns out that Juggalo Trey did not contract the virus. Thus, the only person you were in contact with who may have, you know, been a potential carrier was clean. So you're now back in studio and everything as well.
Yeah, and it was maybe overly cautious, but just
I prefer it.
Yeah, in a normal time, if you thought you might be sick with something,
right,
you probably don't want to come in. And it was the one thing that was easier this time, I thought, doing the show from home and not being in the same room because of all that experience. It felt like it went a lot smoother. I still don't want to do it anymore. I wanted to be in here, and I didn't want to not be able to leave my house. That sucked. I mean, that was no fun whatsoever, but for some reason this time it bothered me and it didn't before. I got used to it. I was able to deal with it, but I was also able, if I wanted to go buy some booze, I could go buy some booze. And this time I just stayed in the house and it sucked, but it's over. I'm back. I'm ready to rock and roll.
All right. Well, I'm ready to rock and roll with you.
Yeah. I was enjoying listening to Josh on the way in too. Thanks to the traffic, I got to hear quite a bit. So, that's another positive, is I get to listen to him on the way in. I get to listen to my boys Braddock and Creighton on the way home.
Well,
get my sports.
Those guys have been doing a really good show too, and they do. They are. And I've talked to them a little bit between shows. We'll talk a little as I'm leaving and they're coming in, and I've got to clean up my space and make sure that they don't catch the Rona. So we'll talk a little bit then. But those guys, I think, more so than us. They miss sports desperately.
Yeah.
So they want to talk about sports even when there aren't sports. They're like, this still has to be our focus is sports. And I'll be honest, like when I was prepping the show today, I would say more than any show in the last two or three weeks, I felt like we've got some sports related content to talk today. Like there's actually some stuff worth discussing. I think that Dr. Fauci's take on the NFL is really kind of a bombshell.
It's completely different than what he said just a couple weeks ago. And I'm wondering now, if this guy isn't losing his mind a little bit. I don't think he's going full Kyrie Irving, which you never want to do that. But, you know, a few weeks ago, I said, oh, yeah, this is a good, he says it's a good plan by the NBA. The NFL should be fine. And now we're getting, oh, I don't think they're going to be playing.
Well, I think that it's what it certainly does is it changes things completely. I mean, in the thought of the NFL doing something like this, it's really hard to imagine. It's easier for whatever reason, it seems more manageable when it's the NBA because you can play multiple games in a day. You can play, you know, four games a week if you really need to. I mean, the NFL, you can play one game a week and you've
or
only
once every 4 days when you play on Thursday.
Right. But you've only, but even then
it's spread out the next week.
Yeah. Like you're averaging one game a week, over the course of a season. So are they really going to lock these guys in a bubble for 17 weeks? And I mean, that would change the whole, I mean, how many fields do you have? So are you,
well, I'll go back to what I said a couple months ago, have it in one place like Dallas, because if you're just not having fans, does it matter that you're playing in the Cotton Bowl or at SMU or any of those places?
Yeah.
Or TCU. Use all those stadiums. You could do the same thing here. There's enough stadiums. But you know, go to a place that's got, especially there and here, you've got these multi-billion-dollar high school stadiums you could use.
Yep.
Million, not billion. But because it's not going to matter if there's no fans. You just need to be able to get your TV stuff in there. So why not? You could have an entire schedule in one place if you did it right.
You could, but now the problem becomes that you mean in one city, not in one like the NBA is doing on one court.
Right, you know, you wouldn't do that. You couldn't do that.
Right.
But you could play two games a day at every stadium.
Yeah.
Maybe three if you did.
I would say three. Yeah.
And so if you do that,
but now you're talking about you're playing games, I mean, are you playing games Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday? Or
well, again, you're not having to take fans in and out, right?
Right.
So you have a noon game. Then you give everybody an hour to clear out. You bring in the guys for, say, a 5 o'clock game instead of 3 o'clock. So you do two in one day. And then you do two the day before. And you've got your primetime games. You move the schedule around a little bit. I think you could do that in a place. And I use Dallas as an example because I know there's enough stadiums there. You can't use the Astrodome here, for God's sakes. But why not have 2-3 games a day at 4 different stadiums? And guess what? You'll get your whole schedule in. I don't know why that would be such a big deal. You can pump your fake crowd noise on the TV, too, like the damn soccer league's doing. Stop, yeah. CPL. Stop it.
I mean, you could even do it one, have half the league here, half the league in Dallas, and just might, and you know, what? Mitigate how often you have to travel back and forth. But between all the stadiums here and all the stadiums there, you got plenty of room. You could get the entire schedule in and still do only playing Saturday, Sunday.
Yeah, you could do that, but I think you could do it in one place too if you really wanted to. Now, I think the bigger concern is if we're not going to have NFL, there ain't no way we're having college football.
No,
there's just too many teams, and that pisses me off, man. I mean, and I get it. I know why it's not going to happen. But I've been able to live without these fringe sports.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, baseball. I can live without you. And for one thing, you've spared us months of more trash can banging talk. Thank you.
We didn't need that.
Yeah. So I don't need you. But boy, I need football.
Yes.
In the worst way.
Yeah. And I don't know. I don't know what... I don't know what happens. And this is just, again, Dr. Fauci's he knows more than you and I do, certainly, about this disease. But I think we've found out that nobody's really an expert, so to speak. So I think that it's hard to know if, like, we should take what he said today as gospel. Because, I mean, it's probably not.
Well, because he changes.
Yeah.
That's the problem. A week from now, he may be, this will happen. This will happen. So we'll see. But that's one of the things about this that just constantly drives me nuts is how often it changes. And that's what I've been talking about this for months. But we can't start planning things like, oh, this will be normal then. This will be normal then. The salary cap, been saying that. Because we don't know. Because they don't know. Our experts don't know. Somebody wants to, was asking how bad was the test. I didn't get tested. I waited to see if Trey got a positive. If he did, then I was going to go get tested. So I was prepared to work from home until that happened. But, you know, he's negative, so... And I mean, I feel fantastic. Always hate when I say that. So I remember when Pete Maravich died, right before he had a heart attack, he told everybody, man, I feel fantastic. And he dropped dead. And every time I do that, yeah. All right. Let's take a quick break. Don't go anywhere. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
The Blitz.
Oh, that sounds great.
On ESPN 97.5. You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we're back on the Blitz. Happy Thursday. Nobody's ruining my mood today. Not happening. Too pumped.
Too pumped. Too jacked.
It's funny, though. I like having Josh here because it gives yet another person who can make fun of my appearance. You guys were trying to decide how my hair, what my hair looks like. Now, this is the look I'm going for. And I've been called a lot of things. Barry Melrose keeps coming up, though.
I think that's probably the most... It's probably the closest anyway. I don't know if it's exact, but it's pretty close.
That's it's unfortunate we don't have the Twitch right now because we could do a poll just like Josh just did.
Yes.
Let's take a call. Mac from Lake Charles. What's up, man?
Hey guys. So I got a question for you, and I want to delve a little deeper into this. You know, what is the fallout for some of these college teams who get a lot of revenue from these football programs to support the rest of their athletic department? Just for example, LSU women's basketball operates at a $7 million deficit. So you look at that, you're going to see a lot of sports closing and a lot of, you know, people shutting things down if college football doesn't take off.
I think that's a valid concern. What I and this came up before, what I think you're going to see are men's programs get shut down.
Yeah.
Because they've got to stay in Title IX compliance. So to keep the LSU women's basketball team, you probably have a better chance of losing the men's team, which I don't know. I think basketball does enough, so you're probably fine there. But swimming, all these other sports, golf, that don't bring in any revenue – yeah, I think there's going to be a lot of them in danger at a lot of schools, not just the smaller schools. You know, we've already seen a few of them drop programs, but I think especially if there's no football in the fall, you get into next year, you're going to see a lot of baseball programs, soccer programs, things like that gone.
Yep.
And, you know, I hate to even talk about this stuff because it is such doomsday. It's such a doomsday mentality. But then here's the biggest expert that we have coming out saying that it's probably not going to happen. And if the NFL's not going to happen, I don't see how you do college football.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I hope. The thing is, even he seems to overreact to certain things, and maybe the fact that it's spiking a little bit more, maybe that's it. Maybe it's because NFL players are testing positive. I'd rather they test positive now. You know what, Deshaun Watson, go kiss somebody with COVID. Because the last thing you need is week three. Oh, Deshaun Watson's out with the Rona.
Right.
And then you get a lot of A.J. McCarron. But it is a scary thought if you really dive into it. And I've been trying not to think about it too much. Because the other sports, it's fine. I'll live without. Football, if you're taking that away from me. I got to tell you, I don't know that I'll survive that. I think you may find me at home, strung up on my shower rod.
Yeah, it's a scary thought. And, I don't know if, you know, if it's realistic to do what they're talking about doing here. And the great thing about the way the NBA and Major League Soccer is doing it is Disney's almost kind of its own. It's not its own state, obviously, but it's its own compound.
It's
its own compound, yeah. And there's really not another place like that. So you could say, yeah, we'll do it in Dallas, where they've got, or even here. There's plenty of hotels, plenty of football fields here. I mean, we've got Reliant, we've got Rice Stadium, we've got
Tadeku. You can BBVA Compass. Has been used for football.
You've got Texas Southern. I mean,
Texas Southern plays at BBVA.
Oh yeah, that's right. There's high school stadiums that could have the infrastructure.
The North Shore one's there. The big one in Katy.
Barry Center. There's the one in Katy.
Yeah. So there's the built in. There's enough fields to do it. Now the problem becomes, you can't just sequester people in Houston the way you can in Disney World. It's
the one place you could do it, but they don't have enough stadiums is Las Vegas. You could keep them pretty enclosed in Las Vegas, but that is the problem. You're still going to have to be spread out, and you're going to be spread out in a. You can't bubble people. You could keep it down. Their interaction down, where you just say, okay, it's the hotel, it's the practice field. It's game day.
Yeah.
That's what you'd have to do. And, you know, same bus driver and everything like that. You could do it and limit it, but it's not as easy as what it is. It's going to be for NBA and MLS. I wonder if the MLS teams got hotel rankings the way the NBA does.
I don't know. I don't know.
They're all staying at the Flamingo Inn or something. Yeah. What's the name of that? There's a hotel there that's got a gigantic mermaid out front that's. We used to have to stay at when I was there for the newspaper.
No clue.
Yeah, it's horrible. But yeah, you'd have to take some precautions. But I think it could be done. I really do. And guess what? If you did have it here, you know, we have pretty good medical center.
Yeah.
So if somebody does get sick, you know, I mean, I know the hospital beds are getting more full, but we're still okay, right?
Yeah.
And most of these players that are getting it, it's nothing to them. Because they're in shape and they're young, and they don't have all kinds of other health problems. If we were having some kind of convention of nursing homes, bad idea.
Bad call.
Definitely not putting that together.
Don't do that.
Kareem Jackson said yesterday, I thought I had a cold. And then I started coughing a little bit more than normal with a cold, so I decided to get tested.
Yeah.
A32 says, my wife, who works in a hospital, says she really appreciates you not going into the office. In turn, I thank you for making my wife happy. I'm glad to help.
Yeah. Good job, Fred.
Can't make mine happy, so somebody else's. But somebody asked, could the non-revenue generating teams not be able to cut costs, coaching, salary, travel, equipment, et cetera? I'm sure that, there's already been coaches taking less money, especially they're high paid football coaches.
Right, they're doing okay.
So it's not going to hurt them that much. But yeah, I think there will be cuts like that. There will be, that'll be the first wave. But at some point, that may not be enough.
Yep.
So, I mean, it says, is it that the university doesn't want to move money from other departments, or do the universities just not have the money? Most of them don't have the money. It's the football programs make the money. There's some that make money off of other things, but yeah. Somebody said main event of tonight's boxing card canceled because one of the trainers has the Rona.
Yep. Somebody on the UFC card got it. A cornerman got it. So there's a fight canceled. John says they got to find an island somewhere and just put up a bunch of fields. Don't need stands, just goalposts and white lines. Unfortunately, they need more than that because they've got to have the television infrastructure. And that's the bigger issue is like where can they set up the cameras necessary? So just a bunch of fields with white lines and goalposts isn't going to cut it.
But there are some, like the Texans bubble. You could use that.
You could.
And I know they've got a setup there where you could do that. So there's a way to make it work. Now, the negative would be outdoor. There's a lot of outdoor stadiums here, and weather gets a little hot. But guess what? High school teams do it. College teams do it. Sat in the stands at UH when it's been 102 degrees.
Yep.
So I think there is a way to, not a bubble. I don't know what you would call it. Maybe some Saran wrap. I don't know. But you could do it and limit, you could limit interaction and do some of the things that they're doing at Disney. You bring in some acts for them, you get some movies for them, you have some activities for the kids. And would it be optimal? Absolutely not. Would I want to have to go stay someplace for 17 weeks? Hey, let's say I play for the the Kansas City whatever radio team, and I have to go to Kansas City and live in a hotel for 17 weeks.
Not ideal.
I wouldn't like it, but I'd do it.
Yeah.
And you do what you have to do. So this might get rid of some ass NFL coaches. There's that. How many of them do you want to kill off?
Right.
Roger Goodell just needs to get a private football island like Dana White did. Doesn't seem too difficult of a task.
But that's what I'm saying. It's not as easy as it sounds.
Yeah. You would have, I think there's a few places, and not to toot the horn of the great state of Texas, but this is one of them, where you could make something like that work because there's so many stadiums. And you could even set it up where teams have, I think there's enough where, you know, I don't know, you keep certain teams playing it in the same stadium at all times, and then the others have to rotate. I think there's a way to do it. And Roger Goodell, if you're listening, give me a call. I'll put it together with you.
You got it.
I'm really good at this idea thing. Execution, not so much. You guys will have to do that. But I got ideas for you. I'll make it work. It'll be fun. By the way, if you are interested, my Belmont picks are up on pregame. I did a story on SportsMap that basically I gave you all the horses I'm playing for free. And if you want to go and see how I'm playing them, like the trifectas and all that stuff, then go to pregame.com. There is a link out of the SportsMap story.
All right.
I feel extremely confident about this for the first time in a long time.
All right.
So we'll see. And maybe it's because last year's Belmont Day was – Belmont Day is usually my biggest day of the year, more so than Derby and everything else. Last year was outstanding. So I'm going in with a lot of confidence, but it is very different this year. The race isn't the same. The undercards, usually those fields are full. There's like a 5-horse field for one of the stakes races. Like, come on, guys. But 49 says, Sun plays baseball at McNeese. They've already cut next year's conference tournament down to only 4 teams. Less games, less travel, etc. Oh. But so how would you feel if multiple NFL teams were assigned to Houston? I feel like it's an unnecessary risk to the local population. I don't.
If they're isolated, yeah. It's not that big of a deal,
here's,
right?
Here's some positives in this, okay? Because I'm a team economy guy. How about if you have one of those big hotels downtown, like the Hilton, where there's 8 people staying right now? Suddenly, that's income.
Yeah.
And they're ordering from the restaurants around there.
Yep.
And you know that all of that helps our economy, and they're isolated, so we don't have to worry about the risk. The risk is if you know you go and go out in a group more so than it is with having the players here. So I think 100% I would love to see it. Much as I've always said I don't want the damn Olympics, I would take that because that would be a nice boost, get some jobs back. That's a great thing about this deal in Orlando. You think about how many hotel workers and hell, just bartenders that are going to get jobs back because suddenly there's people there, and it's people who spend money. I love it.
Yeah, I wouldn't have any complaints about it.
Yeah, and it's not like we're going to come into contact with them.
Yeah, you're not going to see them.
And unless, now if they do it where it's kind of a limited deal where they get to go out to restaurants and stuff, yeah, you might.
But that wouldn't be the bubble thing. That's not what they're talking about.
No, but if you, like, for instance, if you're staying at the Hilton and you tell them, hey, here's 4 restaurants in walking distance that you can go to if you want to go out.
Now, also remember that he could tomorrow come out and say, you know what, I was wrong. The NFL will be able to do this. So,
well, of course, because he's we get different things every freaking day.
What I do believe is the NFL will almost be forced to have a contingency plan in place. Like, in case things, like, they start up the season and things start to get worse, they need to have a plan where they could do something like that if they absolutely had to. I know they don't want to do it like that, but if they're forced to, I think they should probably have that in their back pocket.
Well, I'm sure they will. And this is going to sound wrong, but I'm not worried about the players. If the players get sick, they're going to get over it. But you do have to be concerned about their family, and you have to be concerned about coaches and trainers and all the olds that are on your coaching staff.
Yeah.
That's where the problem is. And but it's the players getting it doesn't bother me, because until one famous athlete dies from it, it just we haven't heard of anybody who's young and in shape and part of these teams that's had it really bad.
Yeah.
Closest one was Tony Baselli, and he's been out of the league for, you know, what, 20 years almost.
Yeah.
All right, I was hoping, was stalling because I thought Lawyer Dave was going to be on the phone. But I'll tell you all about Lawyer Dave, because I can do it. You know why? Because he's a badass. And if you're in an accident, and guess what? I saw three accidents on the way in today while I was stuck in traffic. Well, the first thing they need to do is call Lawyer Dave, because that insurance company is going to have a lawyer, and they're going to try to hose you. That's why you need somebody who fights for you. And maybe you have a bad hospital experience. They give you the wrong drugs. Well, guess what? He takes care of that as well. And if you've been wrongfully terminated, any of those things, Lawyer Dave will fight for you. And he doesn't charge for his consultation, so it doesn't cost you a dime. All you have to do is give him a call and talk to him. And if he takes your case and you need medical attention, they'll take care of that. They'll even get you an Uber to the doctor. You don't pay a dime until you win. And that's how it works. And he basically is gambling on you. He's gambling on himself. Based right here in Houston, but he practices all over the state of Texas. And he is fantastic. He handles a lot of stuff for me. And I can't recommend this guy enough. 713-626-8900 or on Twitter at Lawyer Dave Law, or you can go to lawyerdave.com. And if you can't remember all that, just hit me up either on email or Twitter, as a couple of people did this morning, and I will give you the information. 713-626-8900. Need a lawyer? Better dial Dave.
We could be legends after all.
My name is Bob Lee, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Happy Thursday. Hope you're having a good one. This football news is not going to spoil my mood. You can try all you want. Not going to happen.
I wasn't trying to.
No, you're trying. Because you know the one thing that's going to depress me is not having football. And
maybe.
But I'm not prepared to think about it yet, because things change fast. Hey, last Thursday I left here. Hey, feeling good. Did that podcast with Trey. Everything's great. And the next morning I find out Trey came in contact with somebody with the Rona.
Yeah.
And all this normalcy that we built up and all this momentum and being back in studio, and suddenly I'm back in my freaking downstairs bedroom trying to keep the dog from barking and trying to remember to unmute the damn thing every time, which I did well after the first day. So 713-780-ESPN. Lamont says, I think we're coronavirus with football injuries with next man up, but the reality is if your starting quarterback catches it, chances are they're going to shut down the backup too, because he's around the starter unless you isolate the backup. Funny you should mention that, because I had a story, and we never really got to it, that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, you have the audio? Oh, yeah, okay. Well, I won't give it away. I'll let the audio give it away. But the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have a plan,
okay,
for how to deal with this, and it kind of makes sense. But, yeah, I think that's the one position where it could definitely have an impact. All right, go ahead. Go ahead with this.
I heard some crazy... but maybe it's not such a crazy idea to have a quarterback on your roster that is not at the facility around the guys, because you could conceivably end up in a situation where you're down to quarterback three relatively quickly.
Yeah, that's one of the things I've been pondering in the last 2 or 3 weeks. As we set the protocols, and from what I'm understanding is if you test positive, you're quarantined for 2 weeks. Now, that if you have no symptoms, I don't know what that means.
Yeah.
Is it a false one? There's so much to learn and still explore with this thing, but I've thought about keeping the third quarterback on the roster out of the room.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have two guys that have been in our system really sharp. So I might have to quarantine a quarterback just in case of a quarantine.
That's Bruce Arians, by the way.
And that makes it makes a lot of sense, to be honest. But it also, I mean, now you kind of stunt that guy's development, right? Does that change how you decide who your third quarterback is? Do you, like, in the instance of the Texans, who is the Texans' third quarterback at the moment anyway?
Do they have a third one?
I don't know if the Texans do. But a lot of the times you'll have your starter, and you'll have a sort of a journeyman or a veteran who probably is either never quite was good enough to be a starter or was once a starter and is no longer a starter. And then as your third guy, you may have some long shot developmental guy. And for the Texans, for the longest time, what was the guy's name that kept getting hurt? That all he did was run the ball when they would have him out there. Why can't I? His name hit me. He was in camp with them last year, and he basically took every preseason snap.
Oh, Joe Webb.
Yeah, Joe Webb.
Yeah, that I would have.
You would have to put your veteran as your third quarterback.
Yeah, you would have to have somebody who'd been in the system. Like, if you're the Texans,
you would want McCarron as your third guy, right?
You'd have McCarron as your quarantine guy, and then you'd bring in somebody else.
Yeah.
They currently have four quarterbacks on the roster.
Who are they?
So the two obvious ones, Watson, McCarron, Alex McGough.
Oh, yeah, they signed him.
Out of Florida International last year, and then Nick Tiano, who was a rookie they signed out of Tennessee Chattanooga. Yeah.
So those are both clearly developmental guys.
Yeah, they're not going to. That's not what you want.
You don't want to have Deshaun and AJ McCarron catch the Rona. So it makes more sense to have one of those developmental guys finish a game out if Deshaun were to get hurt.
Right.
And then once that guy is out of the pick, or if Deshaun catches the Rona, even.
Well, that's the thing. You would only do that if he got the Rona.
Right.
So that would presumably not happen in game.
Right. So it would make more sense to have your number two guy be your, I guess you would just call him your quarantine QB.
Yeah, the isolation dude. But then what happens if, you know, a week later the running back's got it and he's going to be exposed to him anyway? And it's there's a lot that is going to have to be dealt with here. And, yeah, it's going to require some creativity. As we know, most NFL guys are not very creative. But I think Bruce Arians is on the right track here. I think that's a good idea. Because if Brady goes down, and I don't know who's their backup now.
Blaine Gabbert.
Oh, God.
Yep.
And then they have Ryan Griffin and then a rookie named Reed Sinnett.
So, yeah, I would probably – then you'd isolate Gabbert, right?
You would.
And I think that makes perfect sense. So, that's it's going to be a strange world, Mr. Hoffman.
Yep.
Chuck says he's on his way to Coushatta. So, is Coushatta reopened?
You know what's funny? My mom sent me a text today. And it was like a flyer from Coushatta that said the poker room is open, and it says the Coushatta poker room is open, and to ensure that you have a safe, healthy experience while you play, we're taking some extra safety precautions. 7 player maximum at each table, which is more than what they were saying was going to be allowed in Vegas.
Yeah, 7 to a legitimate number.
Players and dealers are required to wear a face covering.
Okay.
Hand sanitizer provided for all guests and associates. Cards are changed and sanitized every 24 hours. Which 24 hours seems like maybe they should do it more often than that, but what do I know?
Yeah.
But I said, are you jonesing to play? And she said, no, not really. I mean, I'm not looking to go to a poker room anytime soon. I do miss playing poker, but
yeah,
not that much.
Yeah, I'm not really ready to do all that yet. To be honest, this little almost encounter with it has got me slowing down a little bit because I don't know. I don't want to go back on lockdown. I'm not worried about getting sick. I'm not worried about any of that. I just don't want to go back on lockdown again.
Yeah, the Golden Nugget reopened theirs, I think, a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, and they're doing 5-player limit per table.
Yeah, see, five players, forget it. To me, if you have to have at least 6. Otherwise, you know, you're getting raked. It's hard to win. It's hard enough game to win at anyway when you go to that few players. But a 7-person table is legitimate. 713-780 ESPN's your number? Yeah, I hate to admit it. I never thought this would come out of my mouth. I just don't have any interest in going to a casino right now.
I don't either. I don't either. I do like to gamble.
Yeah?
But I think I'm out on the casino right now.
Wow. Well, at some point, we'll get back to Vegas.
Who have we become?
Olds.
Clearly.
Now I feel old. See, you guys are trying to bring me down today. It's not going to happen. Quick break. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. With no money, I didn't gave you. I was on top when it meant a lot. Still on top like I'm scared of the drop. Still on top when these want to swap. Want to swap like it's lost in a watts. I don't want to change because I'm good where I'm at.
You're listening to the Blitz. The Blitz.
On ESPN 97.5.
You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on the Blitz, 713-780-ESPN's your number. So what was your other sports-related stuff that we needed to get to? It's been kind of a sportsy first hour. We might as well finish it up with sports.
I guess a lot of it was to do with Major League Baseball and MLB. Is there that big of a difference between 60 games and 70 games? Because apparently,
carry the one, 10.
Right, that's what I thought. But Major League Baseball said, okay, let's do a 60-game season. And Major League Baseball players apparently said, that's not nearly long enough. We'll counter-propose with a 70-game season. And the counter-proposal now, and this is the deal that's apparently on the table, and if a deal's going to get done, I imagine that it's something very close to this. I do think they're getting closer. I had you asked me a week ago, I would have said there's about a 5% chance baseball gets played. Now I think there's probably about a 65% chance. So kudos to Rob Manfred, who got publicly humiliated and basically got called on his bluff and said, okay, maybe I need to negotiate a little bit better. The players responded with 70-game season from July 19th through September 30th. Today's June 18th, so it would be a month from tomorrow would be when the season would start up. Spring training would begin June 26th, which would be a week from tomorrow. They want expanded playoffs to 16 teams in the 2020 and 2021 season. Okay, it seems like a weird time to have more playoff teams, but okay. Minimum pool for playoff shares in 2020 based on rounds played, $50 million if full playoff is staged, 50-50 split of incremental TV revenues for any additional postseason games in 2021, salary advance forgiveness for all players in tiers 1 to 3 of March agreement, opt-outs, full service, and salary for players who are high-risk and those who live with high-risk individuals, $10 million for social justice initiatives funded from welfare plan, $50 million to be transferred from joint funds to the commissioner's discretionary fund, clubs granted permission to sell ads, patches on uniforms in 20 and 21, enhanced housing allowances in spring training and regular season, universal DH in 20 and 21, parties to collaborate on broadcast enhancements, and mutual waiver of potential grievances under the March agreement. So that seems to be... It doesn't sound unreasonable, especially relative to the 60-game proposal with a lot of the same things in it that the MLB made to the players. So I can't imagine MLB is going to say, we'll do a 60-game season, but not 70. That doesn't seem – and why the players would say, we'll only do 70 and not 60. I mean, just – let's just play. All right? That's the way I'm looking at it.
Well – it was somewhat encouraging what was released yesterday, and now you're hearing, oh, no, that's not good enough. That's not good. I don't want to hear from either one of these guys until they say, we're coming back, we're playing, this is what we're doing. Go quit negotiating through the media. Quit leaking this crap. And I get it, man. Baseball writers got nothing else to do right now. So you know he's hitting up every source to get the information out. But, guys, just stop it. We don't want to hear it. And especially when you start getting optimistic stuff like yesterday, and then you find out, well, maybe they're not nearly as close as we thought. Wow. So I honestly don't give a rat's ass about anything that they have to say until it's, here's what we're going to do. And then I'm going to be happy to break down, hey, okay, from a competitive disadvantage or advantage, great. 70 games, okay, do you do this? Do you do this? 60 games, do you do this? Happy to break it down in detail. We'll dive into it. But until I know what it is, I'm tired of hearing about it. I'm really sick of baseball trying to, you know, for one thing, just the whole, well, we're going to leak this, and then the players will have to change their opinion. And then the players, oh, then the owners have to do this. And I still don't think it's going to happen, man. You've got too many owners that just don't want to play. And they can block it if they want to. So, you know, I don't know. For some reason, these negotiations interest me zero. It's just, give me what you're going to do.
Yeah.
Because we've heard so much speculation now for months over, okay, this would be the plan, this would be the plan. Where'd the 16-team playoff thing come from?
That's what I don't understand.
Like, and for next year, too?
Yeah.
What? You're just going to... Do we even know what next year is going to look like?
I don't know. It could be just a regular old season.
Yeah, you could wind up with a vaccine, say, in January, and guess what you could be doing in February? Spring training.
Yep.
Theoretically. That's an optimistic view. I'm allowed to be optimistic. It's because I'm in a good mood. And when you're in a good mood, you're supposed to be optimistic. I think we'll have one by January. That's my over-under. Don't you dare say over. Don't you do it. I know you. I could see you wanting to do it.
I don't know.
Oh. For those of us who haven't been following the baseball holdout as closely, can you explain why some owners wouldn't want to play this year? Yeah, and I don't blame you for not following it because it's dumb. But for some owners, they'll lose a hell of a lot less money by not playing because you're not going to have fans. And that's a significant amount of revenue for a lot of teams. So let's say you've got a payroll of $200 million and you're getting zero concessions, zero ticket sales. All you're getting is TV money. It's a lot easier to say, you know what?
Yeah.
We'll just pass on the TV money because it's not going to pay our payroll. And then you don't have to, plus there's all the other employees that you don't have to pay. It'd be easier for them to sit out a year.
Sure.
Like the Mets, I don't know if you've been reading about this mess with the Mets, but that's a franchise that's going to be in real financial trouble. For them, it probably would be easier to say.
Probably
you know,
would be not to play.
We got some guys who are paying a lot of money, even prorated.
They've still got to pay Bobby Bonilla this year.
Well, and every year for the rest of time.
On top of everything else.
When the aliens come here and finally take over, they're going to look at that and say, how is this guy still getting paid?
Yep.
You know, because that's what will happen.
If baseball doesn't happen this year, Bobby Bonilla will be the highest paid player in MLB for 2020. Now that's something.
There you go.
One other sports thing I've got here. Did you see that Alabama and Ohio State have agreed to play football matches? Only it will be in 2027 and 2028. So when Nick Saban is retired, God bless the man who has to take over that job from Nick Saban, because
that's going to be Dabo.
He's never going to live up to what Nick Saban did. First of all,
Dabo could.
And here is the future schedule, the teams on the schedule in the future for Alabama football. This next year, they've got USC scheduled in a neutral site. They've got Miami scheduled in 2021 neutral site. 2022, they've got Texas, and it's a home-and-home with Texas, 22 and 23. Also in 22, this is not good news, Austin Peay, where I once matriculated, they will be on Alabama's football schedule, and that will not go well, I don't believe, for the Govs. 2024 and 25, they've got a home-and-home with Wisconsin. 25 and 26, they've got a home-and-home with Florida State. 26 and 27, a home-and-home with West Virginia. 27, 28, home-and-home with Ohio State now. 28-29 home and home with Notre Dame. Then they've got 30-31 a home and home with Georgia Tech, 32-33 home and home with Arizona and Oklahoma, and then 34-35 home and home with Virginia Tech. So Nick Saban really loading up the schedule that he will never have to play. But you know what?
But that's everybody that does it. I don't know if you saw Mississippi State and Washington State agreed to a Mike Leach Bowl 2030.
But are you?
Is Mike Leach even still going to be alive in 2030?
And I looked at Ohio State's just to see what they've got going, what they've got in the hopper. Here's some of their upcoming non-con games. 20-21, they're home and home with Oregon. 22-23, home and home with Notre Dame. 24-25, home and home with Washington. 25-26, home and home with Texas. 26-27, home and home with Boston College. And 27-28, home and home with Bama. It's really refreshing to see these power programs actually schedule other non-conference big boys, because it's fewer and far between these days, and it's kind of disappointing.
Well, this is one of the positives to the playoff, is these teams aren't afraid to play games like this. And I think, you don't want to hear this, but there's been a lot of talk that the playoff expansion is coming.
Yeah.
And that's another reason to schedule these games, because it's not going to kill you if you lose, and we get better matchups early. And if you win that game, it's going to help your playoff argument, especially when we're arguing between 8 and 9, because that's what everybody's going to argue about, since we can't do 4 and 5 anymore. It'll be interesting, because I guarantee you there's going to be years where there's not 8 teams, because, hell, there wasn't 4 teams this year that deserved to get in. All right, we are going to take a very quick break. Don't go anywhere. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.